أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين حضرت مسیح موعود علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام
The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states in one place, I have been sent in order to strengthen the faith and to prove the existence of God to people. For the condition of faith of all peoples has become extremely weakened. Life in the hereafter is considered merely a myth. Every single person's practical condition is expressing, that is, faith in the world and upon the world's pomp and glory, his reliance upon worldly resources and worldly means. That faith and that reliance upon worldly resources he does not similarly have upon the hereafter and on God. The tongue utters much, however the hearts are encompassed by the world. The Messiah, Jesus peace be upon him, found the Jews in this same condition. As is the outcome of the weakening of faith, the state of the faith of the Jews had become extremely dire. Love of Allah the Almighty had diminished. Now this is precisely the condition in my time. So thus I have been sent to re-establish the era of truth and faith and to develop taqwa, that is righteousness in the hearts. This is the ultimate objective of my being. I have been informed that the heavens will once again draw near to the earth after it had become far removed. So we, who claim to come into the Bayt, the initiation of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, must take a self-assessment, that to what extent are we fulfilling the purpose of the advent of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam stated that I have come to strengthen the faith. I have come to make the faith strong. We need to take a self-assessment, that is our faith progressing towards becoming strengthened. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says that faith is strengthened through proof in the existence of God. It is by having perfect faith and certainty in Allah the Almighty. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, reliance in the pomp and glory and the resources of the world is far greater today than reliance upon God. People are greater inclined towards worldliness and materialism rather than towards God. The faith and certainty which should have been in God has taken secondary importance. Worldly people and worldly means has taken greater significance. If we look all around us, then precisely these circumstances we observe. However, when we look and observe all around us, it should not be only for the reason of how the world today has greater faith and reliance upon worldly things rather than upon God the Almighty. In fact, when we look and observe all around us, it should be for the reason that we take an assessment of ourselves. That do we have greater faith and certainty upon worldly resources and means or upon God Almighty? If even after taking the birth, the initiation, we have not been able to recognize God the Almighty in a manner which fulfills its right, then our birth, our initiation would be worthless. And calling ourselves Ahmadis would have no value whatsoever. If today we are only concerned about pleasing our worldly masters, and this concern is greater than trying to please God the Almighty, then we would not be fulfilling the purpose of the advent of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. We would not be fulfilling the covenant of allegiance that we have made with him. If we give precedence to the customs and pastimes of the world over the teachings of the religion, then we would only be calling ourselves Ahmadis by name. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states, people make claims through their words that we have belief in the existence of Allah the Almighty, and that we believe Allah the Almighty to be the foremost and most exalted being, and that love of Allah the Almighty supersedes all other loves. However, practically speaking, in the hearts, love of the world is predominant. We look in all four directions around us, that whether the non-Muslim or whether the Muslims, each and every single person is drowning in the love of the world, the useless pastimes and indecencies of the world has pushed far behind the remembrance of God. Muslims have been commanded to pray 5 times a day. This worship has been commanded as a result of trying to obtain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty and out of love for Him. However, practically speaking, the condition is absolutely the opposite to this. When an Ahmadi looks at others with this perspective, he should first of all take an assessment of himself. That are we offering our prayers in accordance with the commands of Allah the Almighty or not? Are we striving to carry out our worship in accordance with the injunctions of Allah? If this is not the case, then we will be negating this claim of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam, that the purpose of his advent was to strengthen the faith in God. The purpose of his coming was to re-establish the era of truth. The objective of his advent was to draw the heavens near to the earth, that is to say, to establish a living connection with Allah the Almighty. Most certainly, the shortcomings in our actions and in our faith does not negate the claim of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. Indeed, we would be deprived of the share of those blessings which emanated from the advent of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, and our claim to have faith would be mere lip service. So thus, instead of each and every person only looking at others, that what are others doing? What is the state of their faith? What are their actions? And what shortcomings and weaknesses do they possess? Rather, every single Ahmadi needs to take an assessment of his own self at what he is doing himself and to what extent is he fulfilling his pledge of allegiance. That to what degree is he fulfilling the purpose of the advent of the promised Messiah alayhi salam? To what extent is he striving to perform amal saliha, righteous deeds? To what degree is he reforming his moral state? To what extent is he fulfilling this pledge that he has made that I shall always give precedence to my faith over worldly matters? The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, has set before us 10 conditions of the bet, of the initiation, that if you want to become a member of my community, or want to be called a member of my Jamaat in the true sense, then you should and you would need to establish a strong bond with me. This would then come to pass when you fulfill these 10 conditions of initiation or bet, and when you go on reminding yourselves of them. This is so that your faith can be strengthened, and also that your moral state can go on progressing and moving towards betterment. On different occasions, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, on whom be peace, very emphatically, with great pain and agony, has advised and counseled us, that you who associate yourselves with us and who announce coming into my allegiance, if after calling yourselves Ahmadis, you do not produce prominent reformation and changes, then there will be no difference at all between you and others. So therefore, we need to make efforts and to endeavor that our standard of piety should increase to that level, which the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, desired to see us at. I shall mention some of the counsel and advice that the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, imparted to those who take the initiation. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says in one place, the bet, the initiation, does not give ceremonial benefit. To be a party to such a bet, initiation, is very difficult. That is to say, just by taking such a bet or initiation, one cannot take a share of the blessings of Allah, or nor does one become the recipient of the bounties of Allah the Almighty, which Allah the Almighty has assigned for one who takes the bet, the initiation. That is, if one just takes the bet ceremonially. The promised Messiah says, one will only be a party to those blessings when one goes on progressing himself to such an extent that with love and sincerity one attaches himself with that person. That is, that one attaches himself with that person who he has taken the bet with, and he forms a strong connection with Allah. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, says, to increase one's attachment is of extreme importance, and a tremendously significant aspect. If one who is wishing for that does not make efforts to increase that attachment, that is, one who has taken the bet, if he does not strengthen that relationship and bond, and does not make efforts in this respect, that is, the connection with Allah and the bond he has with the person he is taking the allegiance of, if he does not do so, his regret and complaint is useless. That is, do not complain that Allah the Almighty is not bestowing those bounties upon me which he has promised. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, stated that the connection of love and sincerity should be increased to the maximum degree possible. A person should reflect his leader or guide. In his style and mannerism, and also in belief in doctrine. That is, the manner of the person you have taken the allegiance of, follow that style, and doctrinally also achieve that standard. Then the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states, rapidly should submit towards honesty, integrity, and worship. From morning until evening, you should take account and stock. That is, you need to achieve the standard of truthfulness and worship. And from morning until evening, take a self-analysis of what you have achieved. Then, the promised Messiah on whom be peace states, do not assume that by only taking the bayt, the initiation, Allah the Almighty will be pleased with you. This is just the shell. The essence is contained within this. Often, the law of nature is that there is a shell, but the actual essence is within. The shell is of no use. It is the kernel or the essence inside that is actually utilized. There are some within whom the essence no longer remains. And just like certain eggs, which contain neither a yolk nor the white, which can be of no use whatsoever, and they are thrown away, rejected. Similarly, a person who claims to have faith and to do the ibadah, the initiation, if he does not contain both these essence within him, that is, he does not know the reality of the ibadah, the initiation, and of the faith, and his actions are not in accordance with them, such a person should be fearful that a time ultimately comes when, just like that type of egg, through just a little damage, it will be thrown away, being smashed into smithereens. Similarly, one who claims to have faith and to do the bayt should scrutinize himself. That am I just the shell or am I the essence? Until the essence is not produced, faith, love, obedience, the pledge, belief and doctrine, following and dedication to Islam would not be in a true sense. And all of these things would be wrong for one to say that he has faith and that he has love. That he has complete and perfect faith, that he has taken the Pledge of Allegiance, that doctrinally and in terms of belief, I have this faith, that I am a true Muslim. So the Promised Messiah alayhi salam says, these are all merely claims. Therefore, after taking the bayt, the initiation, one should also progress in his faith. He should also advance in his love. His love of Allah should encompass and be predominant over all other loves. This is what Allah the Almighty has stated. Then, as a result of that love for Allah the Almighty, one should also have love for his most beloved messenger, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. One should also have love for the promised Messiah. One should have love with Khilafat. And there should also be love amongst one another. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam states, the standard of obedience should be achieved. Obedience does not entail that upon a decision of the Khalifa or the system or the Nizam of Jamaat that suits you, you happily accept. And those decisions which are not of your choice or do not suit you, you present various types of explanations and you start criticizing that. So the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, this claim of taking the bayt, if it is present, then your obedience should also be perfect. So thus this claim of the bayt, this claim of doctrine, and this claim of following, and this claim of acting upon true Islam, of being a Muslim, will become a true claim when one declares and announces that today, after taking the bayt, the initiation, nothing remains of mine. In fact, everything belongs to Allah, and everything is for the sake of His religion. And this is actually the purpose of the bayt, for one to sell himself. Then, counseling a friend, the promised Messiah alayhi salam said, remember, after taking the bayt, the initiation, it is important to bring about change. If after taking the bayt, there is no reformation or change in one's condition, that would be taking it lightly. That is, it is to make a mockery of the bayt. It is to look at the bayt with disdain, or to not regard it or respect it. The birth, the initiation is not child's play. The birth makes a demand. He actually takes the birth who brings about a death on his previous life, and he starts a new life. In every single aspect or matter, changes must be brought about. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, the promised Messiah alayhi salam, even today, is being bestowed by Allah the Almighty with such sincere and devout persons who, after taking the bet, bring about pious reformation within. Non-Ahmadis also acknowledge and admit to these pious reformations. One of our missionaries is of Burkina Faso, and he writes that once Dinia, which is a place there, he went on a visit or a tour. This Jamaat is on the border with Mali. There is a lot of opposition to the Jamaat in this place as a result of the influence of the Wahhabis there. The Imam of a mosque, Vidragu Yakubu Sahib, said, "Inform me." Now this is an Imam of a mosque, but at least he has this much honesty, unlike the Maulvis or the Muslim clerics of Pakistan, who do not accept the truth. So this Imam says that despite the opposition, we admit that in this village there are three excellent Muslims, and all three are examples for us. And all three of them are connected to the Ahmadiyya Jamaat. Similarly, Allah the Almighty has also compelled the opponents to admit that with the grace of the Almighty Allah, after entering into the Jamaat, there is a true and pious reformation brought about in such people. So therefore, he who takes the bet, understanding its reality, become examples for others. And it is these very examples that then opens up the field of preaching. If you want to progress the field of preaching, each and every single one of us, wherever he may be living, in every corner of this country, must set such examples through which people's attentions are drawn towards you, and so that as a result of this, the field of preaching opens up. Thus, as the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, has said, you must strive to achieve those high standards which the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, expected us to achieve. Relating the true standard of an Ahmadi, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says, it is necessary that man remains in such a condition that even angels shake his hand. One should have this hue through taking our bet. That is, if one has taken this bet, he should have this style. That Allah the Almighty's awe should always be impressed upon the heart, through which sins are removed. Then he says, if you remain like worldly and materialistic people, then doing the repentance on my hands will give you no benefit. To repent on my hands desires a death, so that you can in a new life be born again. He says, if your birth, your initiation is not from the heart, it will have no impact or outcome. Allah the Almighty desires a pledge of the heart with my birth. So he who with sincerity of the heart accepts my birth, the forgiving and merciful God most certainly forgives him. He becomes like a person who comes out of the mother's stomach. It is then that the angels safeguard him. So thus, this is the standard of repentance, and this is the pious reformation that each and every single one of us must strive to inculcate. Then the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, says, after entering into this movement, your being should be utterly distinct. You should be a person who leads a completely new life. You should not remain as what you were before. In another place, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, you should gain full knowledge and awareness of the bed and be bound by it. The reality of the bed, the initiation, is that the initiate inculcates pious and true reformation within and also cultivates the fear of Allah. He should recognize his ultimate objective, and in his life, he should present a virtuous example. If this is not the case, the bed, the initiation, is worthless. In fact, such a bed will be the means of even more punishment. Because after making a pact or covenant, to purposely and with thought and consideration disobey is extremely dangerous. Then in another place, the Promised Messiah ﷺ says, taking the bid means to have full knowledge and understanding of the bid. A person may physically and in person take the bid with his hand in the hand of the person he pledges allegiance to. However, he does not understand his objective or is not concerned of it. His bet would be of no use. So one takes the bet with his hand in the hand of the one he takes the bet of, but he does not understand the purpose. That would be useless, and that bet would have no value before God. However, there is another person who is sitting thousands of miles away, and with sincerity of the heart and understanding his objective, takes the bet. So thus there is another person who has not taken his bet with his hand in the hand of the one he is pledging allegiance to. He is thousands of miles away. However, he understands the reality and purpose of the bet, and he remains bound by that covenant and undertakes practical reformation. Such a person is thousands of times better than one who took the bet in person but did not follow the bet in the true sense. So thus this is the reality of the bet and the fulfillment of the advent of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, that understanding the reality of the bet is necessary, and the reality of the bet, as has been mentioned previously, will be understood at that point, when all the conditions of the bet which the Promised Messiah alayhi salam has outlined are reflected upon, and they are acted upon. I gave an example just now of how people sitting in far off and remote regions of Africa take the bet, the pledge of allegiance, and are becoming examples in their environment. The opponents are compelled to admit that if one wants to observe a true Muslim, he should find them amongst Ahmadis. So these are the examples that we must set. There are other examples I shall give of those who newly take the bet. Amongst the conditions of bet of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, one is that he shall enter into a bond of brotherhood with the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, which supersedes all other worldly relationships. Today also there are people in far off places who demonstrate this. How, when they get the opportunity, Allah the Almighty has instilled their heart with faith. Amongst those who took the bet in the Russian countries, with the grace of the Almighty Allah, in their faith and sincerity, are progressing extraordinarily. A few of them attended the Guardian Jalsa in the previous year. After they returned, and after reaching back to their countries, the viewpoints and opinions that they sent included one of the following person who said that I had read about this blessed place in the books and I had seen this on television. However, when we stepped upon this land, then that very ambience that was at the time of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam embedded us. It was very easy to breathe here, and a person became unaware of the world and what it entails. One's thoughts and ideas are completely lost in absorption of Allah the Almighty. Whatever we saw and felt there is difficult to spell out in words. Another friend said that with the grace of the Almighty Allah, I had the opportunity to go to Qadian, and in accordance with the injunction of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to convey my salam to the Mahdi of the latter days. I had heard the azan, the call to prayer, for the very first time in an Ahmadi mosque there. Because in Russia or the Russian countries, there are restrictions and one cannot say the azan. So he says, I quickly put down my luggage, and performing the wudu, the ablution, I was engrossed in the thoughts when I reached the mosque, that this is the mosque of the Messiah. And after offering two rakats of prayer, I asked an Ahmadi brother, that is this the mosque of the Imam Mahdi, peace be upon him? He replied, no, this is Darul Anwar. He was a bit gloomy. He went to the remaining brothers and he informed them. In any case, we offered our Fajr prayer in that very mosque. Then we went to the grave of the Messiah and we prayed there. There, I was filled with so many sentiments of thankfulness to Allah the Almighty, which I cannot express in words. After this, we travelled everywhere in Qadian. The Imam Mahdi's mosque, Bait al-Fikr, Bait al-Dawa, that house where the Promised Messiah alayhi salam was born and lived, where he had kept fast. We also went to Masjid Noor. We had the opportunity to pray in all these locations. Such a state overcame us, which cannot be explained. It seemed as if the mind had boggled. We went to all the significant sites. As a result of this, I consider myself most fortunate. So thus, these are the people who are spread in different countries of the world. There are many who did not gain the opportunity to go to Qadian. However, they are filled with sincerity and devotion anyway. They send letters, and one is astonished observing their loyalty and dedication. More than their worldly requirements and needs, they are concerned of their spirituality. When I recently went to Singapore, there were many people who had come there from Indonesia. And there were poor people who had come travelling long distances. There were even some who had come who did not have enough money for travel. So whatever little land or property they had, they sold to fund their travel and they reached Singapore. And whenever they asked for prayers, it was not only to fulfill worldly needs. It was that their children remain established on the faith. And whatever reward they had attained, they should not let go to waste. These were the sentiments of both the men and the women. Then the love for Khilafat was boundless. That love or brotherhood was demonstrated, which was purely for the sake of Allah. I shall present another example, which is showing how the faith is given precedence over the world and also a demonstration of brotherhood. From France, the Emir Sahib writes that new convert Abdulaziz Sahib was in search of employment for the last 3 or 4 months. During this time, when he was informed that at the end of the month of June, the Jalsa Salana Germany was going to be held, he was told that Khalifatul Masih would also be participating. He replied that we will attend this Jalsa at whatever cost. He had a great and keen desire to meet Hazur Khalifatul Masih. Nonetheless, he said when on 2nd June he was contacted again to go to the Jalsa Germany, he informed that just today I have received an employment. If he is absent for 4 days, there is a strong possibility that he would be immediately dismissed from his job. He is a new convert, and the circumstances in the world today, especially in Europe, are such that employment is very difficult to find. There are hundreds of thousands of people who are unemployed. However, despite this, this person said, whatever the circumstance, he would most certainly go to the Jalsa Salana. Even if he lost his job, then let it be so. He said that I will most certainly go to meet Khalifatul Masih. Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah. He attended the Jalsa, and he also took part in the Bayt, the Pledge of Allegiance, by hand. Then our missionary from Mali writes that a new convert of our region, Adam Gulubali Sahib, is working in a company. One day he was called for a meeting of Khuddam al-Ahmadiyya. At the very same time, there was a very important meeting of his company. The meeting was such that if he did not attend, he could have been dismissed from his employment. However, without having any concern for that, he attended the meeting of the Jamaat. And at the conclusion of the meeting of the Jamaat, when he departed for the company meeting, it was very late. He was thinking that the company owner would be extremely angry at him. However, this Khadim-e Ahmadiyyat, who gave precedence to the faith over the world, his owner, instead of being angry, was extremely happy with his work. And as a reward, he was given a motorcycle. This new convert has strong faith and belief that this reward was given to him as a result of the blessings of Ahmadiyyat. Thus, it is his sincerity and devotion that he fulfilled his pledge of giving precedence to his faith over the world. And thus, Allah the Almighty also rewarded him. Here also, some people have met me at the Jalsa. A few of them, I know, are from Fiji. They had new employment, but they left that and attended the Jalsa. However, there are also many here who, as a result of their work, or as a result of some other reason, even though they had no problem with their employment, did not participate in the Jalsa. This is despite the fact that they most certainly should have attended the Jalsa. Now see an example of sincerity and devotion of another person living in a far-off place. The passion and zeal he had to acquire the knowledge of the religion, and how Allah the Almighty blessed him, consequently, from Ivory Coast, Umar Sukarni Sahib. He says that after becoming an Ahmadi, Allah the Almighty showed me many signs of the acceptance of prayers and of the truthfulness of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam. And he's showing this to me every day. This is what the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, has said, that the purpose of my advent is to establish a connection with God. He says that through this, my faith is progressing. The days of the Jalsa Salana Ivory Coast were near. My financial circumstances were such that in order to participate in the Jalsa, I did not have enough funds for travel. I prayed that, O Allah, your Mahdi is true, and I want to go to the Jalsa which he has established. Look at how these people give value and importance to the Jalsa, and everyone should take an assessment themselves. So he prayed, O Allah, provide me the means of travel from yourself, as a sign. So he said, next day, a non-Ahmadi friend expressed to me his desire to attend the Jalsa. I wrote down both our names with the administration arranging the convoy or delegation for the Jalsa. There were 2 days left for the Jalsa. However, even now no arrangements had been made because he did not have enough funds. He said, I continued praying. During this time, I had to go to a nearby village. There, a person met me. He said to me, I have been waiting for you since yesterday. He put 20,000 francs in my hand and he stated, these are for you. So Allah the Almighty put it into the heart of that other person that gave him money. He says, I took that amount and I thanked Allah, and through this money, 16,000 francs I spent for travel of 2 persons, and 4,000 I kept for the journey. So this blessing and bounty of Allah the Almighty most certainly became a means of the strengthening of his faith, as he has written himself. After taking the bet, that change was brought about, that rather than being inclined to the world, inclined him to the being of Allah. He did not go to any person, rather he continued in prayers that Allah the Almighty makes the arrangements for him. And Allah the Almighty accepted his prayer, and he fulfilled his desire. So thus, how can such doubts and misgivings be instilled in the hearts of such people who are so infused in their hearts with faith that, God forbid, Ahmadiyyat is false, or that Allah the Almighty does not exist? Most certainly, these people are strengthening continuously in their faith, and when they tell these very things to the future generations, their faith will also increase. As the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, bring about pious reformation and act upon the teachings of Allah and His Messenger. it is only then that you can truly assess the condition of your faith. Now I shall relate an incident of a girl living in Europe. How Allah the Almighty gave her success in her attempt to safeguard her faith, and how Allah the Almighty rewarded her. The missionary in charge of Switzerland writes that there was a young girl of the Jamaat who was acquiring professional education. 2 days a week she would have to go to college, and 3 days a week she had to learn some work in a firm. She was the only Ahmadi in her family. The firm had given her the facility to offer the prayers. When she started the course in this firm, and suddenly the firm started obtaining extraordinary profit and started obtaining new customers. In an extremely short time, 2 new buildings of the firm were constructed and many new workers had to be hired. The college in which this girl used to go, there was a sports period and swimming was a part of it. In the sports period, the girl was pressurized to take part in swimming, but she rejected this. She said, "I cannot swim with men. If it is separate, then that is something else." Then there was more pressure from the administration of the school or college. However, she did not succumb to that demand and she rejected it. The school complained in that firm. She also had pressure from that firm that this is a part of the education of the college. If you do not do this, we will dismiss you from your employment. However, the girl remained firm on her faith. She said, "Do whatever you wish. I cannot swim with boys." In any case, they were becoming more and more harsh and firm. Then the girl, troubled, gave her notice and could not continue her course. She left the firm and gained enrollment in a private college. When she left the firm, then Allah the Almighty showed an extraordinary demonstration of His power. That profit of the firm started becoming loss, and the work slowly and gradually was diminishing, and workers had to be made redundant. When a meeting was held to learn the reasons for this loss, the managing director of the firm admitted openly that perhaps an innocent person has prayed against us. Somebody wrote an email to this girl from the firm and said, "When you left our firm, then for a few days you were the topic of discussion of the people working here. After this, you were never mentioned again. Now, since the managing director has stated that some innocent person has prayed against us, now once again, you have become the subject of discussion. Everyone considers that you are that innocent person who this firm had been unjust to." Her direct lady manager, who had greatly troubled her, had been dismissed by that company. Allah the Almighty bestowed His blessing upon the girl. She studied in a private college, she passed with good grades, she completed her course and suffered no harm or loss. She gave precedence to the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. All her worldly desires were also fulfilled by Allah the Almighty. Thus, there is also a lesson in this for our girls, that if they give precedence to the faith over the world, if they give precedence to Allah's pleasure, Allah the Almighty continuously bestows His blessings. It's not necessary to adopt everything here. It is not that anything anyone says has to be acted upon. The youth should remember, the good aspects here should be taken, and the bad aspects you should try to shun or save yourselves from. Swimming is not forbidden for girls. They most certainly should swim. However, girls should swim amongst girls. And this is something good because every single person should know how to swim. Nowadays, this emphasis has been given for girls to swim. My grandmother used to tell me that in those days when there were no swimming pools, people used to go swim in the canals, and she was an excellent swimmer. This is over 100 years ago. Even at that time she used to swim, and she would swim upstream very well. So even our women do swim, and they should swim. However, you should try and get whoever is responsible for the swimming pool to make such arrangements that there is a separate time for only girls to swim. And this can be done here. I have seen many places here in Europe when efforts are made, then this has been done. A sincere friend was paid tribute to, who is a judge at this time in the High Court. Sayyid Crocker Sahib. He was made the judge of the appeal court. The Ghana Bar Association, in his honor, gave a citation in which it is said, although you are a human for whom you must make mistakes, however, you have never been corrupt in any way. After making a verdict or decision, you do not even like to receive presents by way of thanks. There is no seed of corruption in any way found in your being. The Ghana Bar Association declares you trustworthy, hardworking, and an incorruptible judge. This is the revolution which, after coming into the bed of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, and after understanding its reality, comes upon such people. Now look at the judges in Pakistan. They pass a decision. Then afterwards, out of fear of the Maulvis, they change their decision. There are many decisions that were made in favor of Ahmadis, in favor of victims, by the High Court or Supreme Court, which were then later changed. So does this honor also with the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat? And this honor every single Ahmadi should strive to preserve, that nobody should raise a finger towards them. Amongst the conditions of bed of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, one is that with his God-given abilities and powers, he should benefit mankind. How is this expressed by non-Ahmadis? I shall present an example of this. The President of Sierra Leone, on the occasion of the 52nd Jalsa Salana of Sierra Leone, said in his address that I am very happy that I am participating not only in a program of Jamaat Ahmadiyya, but an important program of the country. I have come to appreciate the services of the Jamaat towards the progress of the nation, and I have come to pay tribute to this. And as the President of the country, I have also come to inform how much the government and also the public of Sierra Leone have respect and regard for the Ahmadiyya Jamaat. The motto of the Ahmadiyya Jamaat, love for all and hatred for none, is such which the Ahmadiyya Jamaat for many years is not only claiming with words, but is in fact presenting its practical illustration. It is a love of the people of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat that in order to provide education to all, in all places of the country, they have opened schools, and without discrimination of religion or background, our people are benefiting from the schools of the Jamaat. And this practical demonstration of hatred for none is shown that for the good health and safeguarding the health of the people, the Jamaat has opened hospitals. People without discrimination are benefiting from the hospitals. It is the proof of the high tolerance of the Jamaat, and I consider that we should all stand shoulder to shoulder with you, and in these objectives we should support you. I have come here as the President of the country, that I should congratulate you for your services, and I should tell you that upon your services, that me and the people of my country are extremely happy, and we are most grateful to the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat. Now, from amongst the Arabs, the people with oil money do not come there. However, the impact and influence of the Jamaat is growing. Seeing this, they have started going there, and there are some representatives of the governments are now going there. And they said, we will open schools, we will open hospitals, and we will open colleges, and we will also provide help. May Allah the Almighty make it so that the eyes of justice of these people always remain open, and that they are never unjust. Then, obeying Allah and obeying His Messenger, expressing and demonstrate this from non-Ahmadis is as follows. That the former National Chairman of the Sierra Leone People's Party, Al-Hajjah, in his speech at the 52nd Jalsa Salana's inauguration, mentioned his comments. He said, I have attended the Jalsa Sadhana UK on many occasions. I am aware of the people's high qualities and those people being bound by Islamic teachings. What I have gauged from these things is that the future of Islam will only be illuminated through the Ahmadiyya Jamaat. We are seeing proof of this. He said, if we cannot join the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat, then as a result of our lack of knowledge, then regarding the progress and teachings of the Ahmadiyya Jamaat, at least do not express your wrong sentiments. Look at the theme of the Jalsa and the posters which are placed in the Jalsa Gah. And from this, one comes to learn that if anyone loves the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam truly, then it is the members of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat. I will express openly that anyone who participates in the Jalsa Salana will not be able to refrain from confessing that the bright future of Islam is only in the hands of the Ahmadiyya Jamaat. So thus this is that beauty of the Ahmadiyya Jamaat, and this should be the case, that even non-Ahmadis acknowledge and admit that true Islam and love of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and efforts to emulate his example are done by Ahmadis. From Spain, Aisha Bhutto Sahiba says, she wrote a letter to me, that along with my Ahmadi husband, I live with my in-laws. They are all non-Ahmadis. When they indulge in backbiting, sitting together, I am extremely pained, and I do not like to sit amongst them. Similarly, since I have taken the bed, I have stopped shaking hands with men, and I have also stopped sitting in gatherings with non-relative men. He does not like this, and they mistreat me. And they demand for the hadith, in which it is said that it is forbidden to shake hands with men. Both my husband and I are passing through this with patience. Pray that Allah the Almighty gives us our own house, where we can freely act upon the teachings of the promised Messiah. So thus these are the changes which are cultivating in these people. Now no Ahmadi, no girl, should have no reason to fall into any complex. That sometimes we have to shake the hands of men. There is no need to greet men by shaking their hands. When it is forbidden to shake hands with men, one should be bound by that. Similarly, men should try to not shake hands with women. If you want to accumulate the blessings of Allah, then even the smallest of smallest commandments, which may seem to be small, you must strive to act upon. Then a person writes, and perhaps this is from India. In Jamaat Ahmadiyya Chitalia, the non-Ahmadi Muslim clerics and some mischievous persons, in the location of Gurdarbi, some mischievous people attacked the mission house and they took over the mosque, which Jamaat Ahmadiyya had populated. They said that we will do the imamate in this mosque. However, if you desire to, you can come and offer your prayers here in this mosque. However, Allah the Almighty had instilled such respect for the Jamaat in the hearts of the members that not a single person wished to become their follower. And each and every single one of us rejected offering prayers from behind them, and they remained steadfast upon Ahmadiyyat. So thus, this is an example of the value and respect for the religion. There are some people who do not accept the Imam of the time. They do not accept that Imam who Allah the Almighty has sent, who, in accordance with the prophecies of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, came. Then, how can we offer our prayers behind such people? How can we make such a person an imam who rejects the imam of the time? We do not want to please people, rather we want to please God. However, in this matter, a lot of care should be taken. Most fortunate are those people who understand the essence and reality of the bed, and who produce pious reformation within, and who are making efforts to do so. May Allah make it so that each and every single one of us be those who fulfill the rites of the bed, may each and every single one of us, that pain and agony that was in the heart of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, to draw us near to God, that we can understand it. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states that I know full well that it is not my task to instill these things within the hearts of people, and nor do I have any instrument or equipment through which I can embed what I have to say in the heart of someone. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says there are thousands of people who have progressed greatly in sincerity and devotion. However, sometimes old habits, or as a result of human weakness, in the worldly matters, they become so embroiled and involved that they become negligent of the faith. So he says that they are increased greatly in sincerity and devotion. There are such people, however, they demonstrate some weaknesses. So thus, one must also strive to remove those weaknesses. So thus, our objective and purpose is one should become utterly pure and selfless, so that before the faith and the religion, worldly matters should not be considered of any importance or value. And different types of negligence which bring about the means of distance from God should be eliminated. Until this is developed, one's state is extremely precarious and treacherous and is not worthy of satisfaction. So thus we must particularly take a self-assessment. We need to make an effort to bring our state in line with the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. May Allah the Almighty enable us to do this.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر